Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
What a ghastly afternoon here in Melbourne. It is 1:05. Pete Dillon with you. Big show ahead. We're wading into some very, very murky waters this afternoon. I trust you're at home with a snifter of mulled wine and a vol-au-vent. No point being outside. We shall be back with you in just a moment. We are at 1:06 on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you to Matt for the news. He's looking a little tired and emotional in there. I think he might have had a late night, but who knows? He just looks like he needs to go home and have a little bit of a nap in the afternoon and probably needs a snifter of mulled wine and a vol-au-vent because it is a ghastly day here in Melbourne town. 1:06 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. 1300 Joy 949 is the telephone number. Do ring and become a member or make a donation because you can still indeed win this fabulous Jeep valued at over $35,000 thanks to Essendon Jeep, all part of Joy's 2012 Radiothon, which officially wrapped up last night, but of course you can still become a member. I'm interested in hearing from you today. We are going to have a little bit of a controversial discussion. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS. You can email on air at joy.org.au or send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Thank you to Greg and Lindsay and John on Detours as well. An interesting program about India. Today we're going to wade into some murky and, as I said, perhaps controversial waters. Is the high-end restaurant on the way out? Is there too much pressure from the economy for restaurants to be able to survive this current financial crisis? Or is it a matter of too many players at the higher end of the dining market? This week, the announcement came that Justin North, known in some circles as a celebrity chef, has put his group of restaurants into voluntary administration. Whilst North and his wife Georgia remain committed to trading out of this current dilemma, it's worth asking the question, did he expand the empire too quickly, or is it purely the current economical climate that is forcing restaurateurs like North to wind back and reconsider what they're doing? So we're going to unpack this issue today. Joining me on the phone a little later will be Michael Harden. He is part of the Age Good Food Guide's reviewing team and the editor of the Age Good Bar Guide, which is released today. Today, go and buy a copy. Revered restaurant critic and food editor from the Australian newspaper, John Lithleam, will also talk to us. And catering company owner and chef Jason Galletti from G'day Chef Catering here in Melbourne will be chatting to us as well. And in studio, a man who should need little introduction. His restaurant's been consistently respected as one of Melbourne's best since 1994. Since opening, he has built a strong following and won a fine reputation, not only reflected by its loyal customer base, but by the many awards won throughout his commitment to a very high standard of cuisine and service. Currently awarded 2 hats in the Age Good Food Guide, he is the president of Restaurant Catering Association of Victoria and has been now for, I think, about 4 or 5 years. He is the senior vice president of the National Restaurant and Catering Association Board. Matteo Pignatelli, welcome to Cravings.
Thanks, Pete.
We should talk about your restaurant, Matteo's First, which is just up the road here in North Fitzroy.
North Fitzroy.
Now, that's the site of Mietta's, of course.
The old original Mietta's, yes. And when I bought the place, I played on the M and at Mietas, Mateos, which nowadays, obviously, it's the worst thing you can do is put your name on the front door or promote the chef, that is, as well, I should say.
Well, that can have its own disadvantages, or indeed its own advantages, can't it?
More disadvantages than advantages, definitely.
We'll get to those in just a moment. Thank you, Steve, for your message. Avoid Punt Road northbound from at least Toorak Road. Don't normally do traffic on a Saturday, but it is so ghastly out there. If you're in the car, do stay away from Punt Road northbound from Toorak Road. It's taken about 10 minutes from the Yarra to Olympic Boulevard. Just as well you came in on your push bike, isn't it? Let's go back to Mateo's, I beg your pardon. You've been there since 1994.
We have been there for 18 years next week, actually. And the key to us surviving is the reinvention, or evolution, I call it. As the market changes, you adapt to what the market eats.
So, and what the market tells you.
Basically, we are customer-driven, and that's... Unfortunately, I think where the market at the moment, or a lot of restaurants, some tend to lose a plot, is that... Or not lose a plot, lose sight, is that the customer tells us what they want. So, but then again... If they're not doing what they want, they wouldn't be open. So some of them are still open. So maybe they are doing what the customer wants.
Would you suggest there's others who are trying to tell the customer what they think they want? Or is that me opening another can of whoopas?
I think that's a case of some places, yes, telling them what they want because it's better for them.
Yep. I've got a tweet here from Matt Wilkinson. A little buddy of yours, I'm sure. Tell Mateo to get stuffed. Spoken like a true front of house person. That's charming. Also, from the Royal Mail Hotel, because we're going to get into this high-end dining. Royal Mail say, I think we're classed as high-end dining, whatever that is, and that's something that you and I are going to unpack very shortly. And the next available table is a Saturday in September. You've got an interesting take on this particular comment.
I think the Royal Mail is fantastic, by the way, so...
We love the Royal Mail.
And if you can go down there, you should go down there. I think when people book so far in advance, they tend to cancel a lot more.
Yep.
So...
Things happen.
Things happen. Well,
kids have to go to hospital, you know, whatever.
And that's why the trend with a lot of restaurants now is only to take bookings. Like if you look at Momofuku in Sydney, it takes up to 10 days in advance, no more than that. And that story that Jan Applegren did in the Epicure... about 3 weeks ago, experienced it myself, being up in Sydney 2 weeks ago and trying to go there. It was just, was funny. How
do you manage the situation with bookings? So it's a controversial subject across the industry right now, and I'll get you to put your restaurant and catering hat on for a minute, rather than your restaurateur hat. How do you, well, maybe your restaurateur hat would be better. How do you deal with bookings? Do you take, if it's a table of six, will you take a credit card number?
We do and have done for 18 years, actually. If people book for 8 people or more, we take a $20 per person deposit, because to lose a table of 8 is actually quite detrimental to the business.
Well, you've got chefs in the kitchen who are needing to be there and to prep food. You've got front-of-house staff that you've put on so that you can manage the service components of that. So,
It's more basic logistics. On a table of 8, even a table of 6, you have to join 2 tables to make a table of 6.
Which means you lose 2 tables of 4?
So you lose 2 tables of 4 or 2 tables of 3, whichever way you look at it, but you lose 2 tables. So if you lose a table of 8, all of a sudden you've lost 2 tables. It's not 1 table. You have to recoup, try to get back 2 tables or rebook 2 tables.
It's clearly very difficult.
At 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, yes, because everyone's already made their plans for the evening. They've booked ahead. They know what they're doing. You know, surely there are people out there that book 3 restaurants. I think we had this discussion before, and it does happen. You know people. I know people when you're booking 6 months. I don't know what I want to eat next week, let alone in September.
Well, I don't know what I want to eat for dinner. Yes. So, you know, worrying about booking something in September.
And a lot of people are like that. What's happening out there, and I've seen, is that people say, I'm going out on a hot date, or I want to take out a friend, and I'll book 3 restaurants and I'll pick you up and say, Pete, where are we going? What do you feel like eating tonight? Do you feel like Asian? Do you feel like French? Do you feel like Italian? And you'll say, oh, tonight I feel like Italian. You go, well, I've got a booking in an Italian. Because you look good. You go, I've got a booking
in an Italian. Yes, friends in higher places. So I guess then,
even though they ring to cancel, they've rung at the last minute, where a lot of these restaurants on a Saturday night aren't especially if they're good restaurants, they're not really relying on walk-in trade. Mm. So,
but by the same token, if it's a Tuesday night and you're taking your buddy or your hot date out for dinner, and you've booked two restaurants or three restaurants and you go to one and you cancel at the last minute the other two.
The same thing, because if I've put staff on knowing that you're coming,
yep.
So then...
Because I need my own staff.
Well, you certainly do. You're pretty high maintenance. So, but you've put people on to cater for those staff.
Mm.
So then you can't actually... And that's why sometimes you'll go to some places and you'll get bad service, because they're playing, they're hedging their bets about people not showing. And then who lose out really are the staff, because what happens, they're only there for the minimum 3 hours that they need to be there.
Yep.
And they've lost out a night, either a night at home or they could have gone out. So it's a lose-lose situation. So...
Indeed it is. It is a quarter past one here on Joy 94.9. Matteo Pignatelli is my guest in studio. We have a message. Hey, Pete, great points about the food establishments. Silk Road comes to mind on Collins Street, over the top. Our European sensibilities make people want cosy but comfortable establishments. Remember the Latin and Marchetti scandal. Not sure what that is. Ruthless greed drive patients away. People are quite discerning. Thank you. We'll have some customers. What are they called? CSAs, what are community service announcements, and we'll come back and we'll keep on with this issue. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS number. You can email on air@joy.org.au. 1300 Joy 949 is the phone number, or you can tweet to cravings_Joy 949. It is a quarter past one.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You want diversity? Check out Weekends on Joy.
Yes, it is Joy 94.9, quarter past or 16 minutes past one here on Cravings with me, Pete Dillon, and Matteo Pignatelli is my guest here in the studio. He is a restaurateur. He is the Vic President of the Restaurant and Caterers Association. You can find him on Twitter at Matteo Pignatelli. And if you can work out how to spell that, then you will find him on Twitter. I'm sure if you go and do search Matteo, they'll find you, won't they?
You'll get half of me, yes.
Yes. Which is more than enough, I should think. We're looking at the issue of restaurant dining. What is high-end? What is not so much high-end? We've had some interesting tweets already talking about that. And this is on the back of the announcement this week that Justin North's Empire has gone into voluntary administration.
Which is extremely high-end.
Yeah, it's very high-end.
And it's fine dining. But he had a few outlets, and people are saying that the one outlet, the fine dining restaurant, is what brought him down, which it wasn't. It's all the operations across the board.
Because there's, I think, five or six different...
Yeah, there's cafes, there's bakeries.
Did he expand too quickly, in your personal opinion?
I don't know the logistics of how it went. I think, you know, being in the shopping centre at Westfield, or whatever it's called up there, might have taken its toll as well. Or maybe it did expand too quick, or maybe people aren't going out too much, or maybe the finance situation wasn't, you know, structured well.
I mean, I guess there are a lot of issues, and as he states, he and his wife, Georgia, have been fully committed to our business. They've put their whole life and heart and soul into it. And intend to trade out of this and want the best outcome for everyone.
And knowing Justin, he would really, that would be his major concern, is that the staff, the team there, aren't disadvantaged by this in any way possible.
Well, he's got a staff of 180. So, and there has been a massive expansion in the past 18 months with his business empire. So one wonders if that is indeed... perhaps part of the reason. I want to go back, and we were having a bit of a chat outside when you asked a question, what is high-end dining? And it's a very, again, murky, probably in some senses controversial. If we were to think high-end dining in Melbourne, we'd look to restaurants like Jacques Raymond, Vue du Monde, Attica, Matteo's. What else would go on the list?
Well, for me, I don't look at it. What makes them high-end? Because they've got tablecloths, or... because they take bookings, or because you drink out of a glass rather than a jar?
Or is it because you're
served by guys and girls that are dressed up properly, not in, you know, their bum crack showing or their tattoos, or, you know, and they're using cutlery instead of cardboard?
Where is the line in the sand? I mean, you can call it fine dining, you can call it high-end dining. I think we're dealing with the same thing.
Well, where is the line? Is it's costing you the same at Jacques Raymond, you know, to get fantastic service, and it is at another place that have got no tablecloths, and you do have to line up for half an hour. At the end of the day, you're walking out the same. So what is the line?
I don't know. That's I'm asking the knowledgeable people. I'm just the puppet. No, I'm not. Look, I guess there are some considerations that you want a certain level of service. You want a certain level of food. You don't want to walk away thinking, you know, that was okay. You want to walk away and have your mind blown. And that can happen, as you say, in a restaurant with no hats that is a small suburban property. It can happen at your place. It can happen down at Donovan's on the beach.
Okay, I think the difference is if being a little bit more serious here, as I can be, is the components on the plate is what I call high end. If I'm going somewhere that is high end, it's got to be something that I can't cook at home myself, as opposed to comfort food. It's not Mexican. It's not hamburgers. It's not a steak and chips. Having said that, a great steak and chips is fantastic.
Oh, and worth walking 3 miles for. We're going to have just a little track for the moment. Given it's so ghastly outside, as I said earlier, I do hope you have a snifter of mulled wine and a vol-au-vent in front of you, because this weather is horrible. And so by tribute, I have a track. It has to do with the rain. This is a bit of Donna Summer with MacArthur Park. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 20 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, I love a bit of Donna Summer on a Saturday afternoon. 25 minutes past one here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Now, I did promise you interviews with John Lethlean and Michael Harden and Jason Galletti, but the phones here at Joy have gone down. I think somebody's downstairs digging up a ditch and they've cut the phone line or something. We are working on that. So we will come back to those interviews as soon as possible if we can. Somebody will be no doubt waving in the window very shortly.
And it wasn't me to get more airtime, by the way.
Now, a bit of industrial espionage. Look, I might have some messages and we'll come back and continue with Matteo Pignatelli here on Joy 94.9, 25 minutes past one.
Catch all your favourite Joy friends this weekend.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, 27 minutes past one here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It seems our technical issue has been solved. We do have the phones back, and so we will bring you the promised chats with three very lovely gentlemen. Matteo Pignatelli is my guest here in the studio from Matteo's in North Fitzroy. And on the phone is our first guest. He's a young fellow who doesn't mind a beverage. He's watched the trends of food change somewhat, and today one of his children has been born. That is the Age Good Bar Guide, Michael Harden. Good afternoon.
Pete, how are you going?
Good. How's the bar guide? Now, it's released today.
It was released today. Yeah, we launched it on Monday, released today with the Age, and yeah, I'll give it a little plug. $5 with the Age today. Otherwise, if you miss out today, it's going to be in all good bookstores and newsagents for about $10.
Oh, that's as cheap as chips if you want to find where is a good bar in Melbourne. Now, say hello to Matteo before we wade into these controversial waters, Michael.
Yeah, hello, Matteo.
Hello, Michael.
Mate, I wanted to talk to you as somebody, as you're part of the reviewing team of the Age Good Food Guide.
Yes.
And we're talking about, you know, are we seeing the death of high-end restaurants? Are we seeing the death of fine dining? Is it too hard to manage in the economy, that this current economical market? What's your take? You're out there eating and drinking. What's your take on the way the industry is moving?
I think that it always just moves. I think the industry is really organic, and there's sometimes where high-end dining is more in favour than others. I'm not saying that it's not economically difficult for people to manage restaurants. It's very hard, as Matteo would know, to sort of, you know, with narrow margins and that sort of thing. But I think that there's plenty, you know, there's always going to be a space for that high-end dining, and sometimes it's a larger space and sometimes it's smaller. But, you know, the public will out.
Yes, it's a good point about you saying about it being too expensive to manage, because it is with it's a higher labour component as well with the high end.
Yes.
But then again, a lot of these newer places are quite labour intensive as well. So you're right about that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think that, you know, but there's always places like, you know, your place, Matteo, is kind of like, you know, in the fine dining mold. It's a beautiful restaurant. It's sort of, you know, the food's good, the service is very good, all of those.
It's a bit fancy.
It's very fancy, but it's full all the time. So obviously, you know, there's people that
not all the time, but
But look, most
enough,
of the time,
enough to keep you in trips to Italy, I believe.
it's tricky to get in on weekends, particularly, you know. So you know, it's I'm not saying that you're rolling in the shekels, but it's sort of like there is enough people out there that like that style of dining.
I think the other thing with that is that a lot of the what we're branding as fine dining, because they're closing, all of a sudden that people that do want to go out and have a special occasion, there's not many left to choose from, and that's why we're picking up all the slack from that. So
yeah. Well, I think, you know, generally Melburnians are a fairly relaxed lot when they go out to dinner because they do it a lot, and so it's not sort of so much the big whiz bang occasion when they go out to dinner so much anymore. So there is that sort of casualisation of dining, which, you know, I've seen through, you know, with the bar guide even. You know, there's places in our bar guide that you could ostensibly once have just called a restaurant because the food's so good, but they're set up like bars. So people like that sort of casual sort of, they don't feel like they've committed to like three courses or any particular amount of food. They can come in and sort of eat as much or as little as they like.
I've seen the guide and it's fantastic, actually. I think it's well done and a great job that you've done there. And a lot of those bars I like to go to as well. Well, I go to most of those.
But you don't drink much, Matteo, from my experience.
Just Negronis.
Michael, I want to touch on something you said. We're seeing it almost a casualisation of the way we eat. There's less structure around the old entree, main, dessert. We're going back to the way that things should be eaten, the shared plates, and that comes from, you know, Southern European and certainly Asian influences. There's people who are sitting around sharing plates rather than ordering their own three courses.
Yeah.
As you're editing the Good Bar Guide, and obviously as part of the Good Food Guide, are you seeing a swing in the trend? Because I'm about to bring somebody else in the conversation who might see things from a different, a national perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a bit of a trend, but I'm not sure whether it's sort of because I really think that sort of it's very cyclical, the nature of restaurants, and you know, it's sort of sometimes there is an element of fashion to them, particularly, you know, sort of like the ones that we talk about and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that in, you know, a few years down the track, there'll be a small, really small, like ultra-fine dining place open up, you know, that will suddenly be the hottest thing in town because there's not as many of them around.
I did mention I want to bring somebody else into the conversation. He is a food editor and indeed a revered restaurant critic from the Australian newspaper. John Lethlean, good afternoon.
G'day, Pete. How are you?
Good, thank you. I've got Matteo here and I've got Michael sitting on the other line.
Couple of dodgy fellas.
I know, now really, like the dodgy level just really went up.
John, what's your experience? You're obviously out there on the national... I was about to say the national stage, but you eat nationally. Are you noticing in, you know, let's take Sydney and Melbourne out of this discussion for the minute. What are you seeing around the rest of Australia? Is fine dining on its way up?
Yep.
Short answer.
Let me just go back because I've just come back from a week in New South Wales, Pete, and so it's very much on my mind. And I was in Sydney for, you know, the whole unravelling of the North business during the week, so it's very much front of mind for me. It seems to me that restaurants that aren't providing some sort of theatrical aspect to their offer, whether it's whether they're doing casual food or whether they're doing fine dining food. The places that are just trying to rely purely on the idea of, you know, of delivering food to the table in a fairly traditional manner are suffering. Okay, now, what's my perspective on this? Monday night, Sydney, Ms. G's, casual. A lot of your listeners will know the place.
Groovy as all get out.
Absolutely thriving. Tuesday night, Sydney suburbs, a little degustation only tiny place called Oscillate Wildly, where I was completely blown away by the food. Doing well Tuesday night, pissing with rain in the Sydney suburbs, you wouldn't really expect it to be full. Doing well, but doing food that introduces a real kind of theatrical element.
So let's talk a little bit about that theatre, John. And
let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Wednesday night.
Oh, do not interrupt the man.
I just want to kind of illustrate the point. When Wednesday night, Est, part of the Merivale Group, very well known, very expensive restaurant. Probably seats about 120. They did 17 covers. I just came away from New South Wales this time round with the feeling that the places that are just putting food on the table with great service are just not doing enough to keep the public's interests there.
So let me jump back to my question now. The theatrical aspect, is it enough to have somebody who is, and I hate this term, a celebrity chef? Can we call them a food media personality, if we will? Is it enough, and Michael, jump in here if you will, is it enough to have a celebrity chef who is at the helm? Or do you need more than that? Is it more about creating something that is a very unique experience?
Well, I think John's right. I think that's a really, really valid point about the theatrical bit. And I don't think having a celebrity chef ever hurts, you know, particularly, you know, you sort of look at, of course, Mr. Kalambaris as a, you know, his celebrity has fueled the popularity of his restaurants, for sure. But I also think that, you know, you do actually have to have something more to it than that, because people get quite sick of it.
If I can jump in there, and actually I hate to agree with you, John, but I think nowadays it's true. You know, good food is a given. You have to have good food. You have to have good service. You have to have a good wine. You need that, you know, that X factor, if I could use that. You need something else that people want to be entertained now. They want to be fed well. I can eat good food anyway. If you're doing bad food, forget it. You're out.
Well, the doors will close in a minute.
And you need theatre, whether it be, in my case, you know, you've got an obnoxious owner who goes around and upsets customers.
Or just throws bread at them.
Yeah, it's sort of like the faulty towers.
So you do. You need a little bit of theatre.
So what's the theatre at Mateo's?
It's
Is it you?
In a way, yes, or that. Even the setting is almost like a theatre, you know, with the curtains and all of that, and then a bit of noise, and then you walk into this plush restaurant and there's the owner greeting you in jeans, and you think, well, hang on. And that's also to make them feel a little bit more casual, hey... Or when you ring up and book and they say, oh, what's the dress code? And it's our clothes, as long as you're wearing clothes.
As long as you've got pants on, that's pretty much the dress code. John, let me jump back to you. You've talked about New South Wales. Let's have a quick flick around the rest of the country. Are we seeing the same in Brisbane? Brisbane's food market, obviously, going through extraordinary growth at the minute, and some great restaurants that are popping up in Brisbane. Are we seeing the same in Brisbane? Are we seeing the same in Adelaide, Perth, Canberra, Darwin?
I think Brisbane's a bit more conservative, Pete. I think, you know, to witness that Esquire, which I think is a really fascinating restaurant with a really interesting chef behind it, hasn't been doing as well anecdotally as I'm sure it would in Sydney or Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Stoke House up there, I gather, has been doing well. And it's a well run restaurant that doesn't particularly, you know, go outside any boundaries that we might expect. South Australia has always had a sort of a more grounded, more roots feel to its food. I think the fact that they've got such close proximity to the city, such a strong wine industry, you know, it brings it down to earth a bit. And, you know, there's a restaurant over there by the name of Celsius where some pretty experimental food comes out of the kitchen. But, you know, it's not followed up with the kind of drama on the floor or the kind of theatre on the floor that really makes the restaurant work terribly well, and I think that restaurant struggles. Perth is a different country. you know, what can you say about Perth? The most mediocre rubbish thrives over there.
Right. And I did see a column from you a couple of weeks ago about Darwin where there was a number of questions you asked.
Oh, dear, Darwin.
A gold mine. Definitely a gold mine. If anybody wants to set up a business, go to Darwin.
Mm. I've just been up in Darwin for three nights, and my goodness gracious me. You know, they don't even have an abattoir in the Northern Territory. Every bit of pork, poultry, lamb, beef, even eggs, is all imported from somewhere else.
Oh, my God. They do have an abattoir. It's actually a camel abattoir, and it's just outside of Alice Springs.
There you go. Sorry.
And what about...
I stand corrected.
No, sorry, John.
I do believe there are a couple of abattoirs on, on Indigenous territory, reserves. But they're specific for those communities. So,
what about the gem that is Tasmania? I think it's fantastic, some of the things they're doing.
Well, that's like another world itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Tassie suffers for its very small population, I think their wine scene down there is helping create an awareness of the importance of these things. It's difficult to make comments about Tasmania because, I mean, a lot of its truly terrific produce is exported, of course.
Mm.
And it can be hard to access the really good fish, really good shellfish, crustaceans, what have you down there. But there's some great stuff happening down there at a produce level, aquaculture, obviously. I mean, some of the best cheese being made in Australia is happening down there. But you have to work hard, and you have to have a bit of inside knowledge to find it on a restaurant table.
True.
My guests are Matteo Pignatelli in the studio. I've got John Lethley and Michael Harden on the phone. Guys, I'm going to ask you to hang on. I'm going to play a brief message, clear my throat, and we'll be back very, very shortly. It's 19 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. It's the world's most uplifting station. Joy 94.9.
It's 18 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. I'd like to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949 is the number for a text message. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can pick up the phone and dial 1300 Joy 949. Or indeed you can do as others are doing and send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Interesting discussion on Cravings at the moment, re the death of fine dining. That comes from the Royal Mail. And guys, I want to bring now something else into the mix. I think if we're talking about these restaurants and the way out for fine dining and high-end dining, I don't think that's as applicable in regional Australia. Would you agree?
I think regional Victoria is amazing at the moment. There's some fantastic restaurants, and they keep keeping the standards up and keep getting better all the time. So I think that if you can turn yourself into a destination, like some of these restaurants, like the Royal Mail, like Provenance, like Loam, restaurants like that, you sort of get onto the radar of those people that like to travel and eat well, and it can be really good.
Would we consider the Lake House fine dining?
Oh, yes, I think so. It does have that. The thing, the lovely thing about the Lake House is it does have that very nice sort of country element to it. So it's not like a city restaurant that's been just transplanted, hook, line and sinker right into the middle of the country. It actually feels like that. So it's probably a little less sleek than you would expect for a city fine diner, but it's still the standard of food and service there is pretty great.
If I could reinforce what Michael said there, I think one of the lovely things about the Lake House, and this is my patch these days, meaning that I live just outside of Hepburn Springs, the Lake House has that marvellous thing of staff who are from the country, and yes. they're really well trained, because I think there's a very good culture of training and service sort of management there, but they're mostly people who are from rural Victoria who work there, and there's just that lovely feeling of hospitality that comes from country folks in the restaurant.
And a sense of place too, right, John? You know, that's sort of like, because I think that's really important in a regional restaurant, that you actually feel like you are in that region. You know, it's sort of like
totally.
you get it rather than, because I object to sitting in a room in the country and feeling like, oh, I could be sitting in Northcote.
But the most important thing, it's run by consummate professionals. When a business is run by professionals, you can't go wrong. So,
yeah, but, yeah. I mean, also just to give some of the other places in this area their due, because you know the Lake House is a kind of a beacon and it gets a lot of oxygen from guys like us. But there is so many interesting things, you know, happening in this part of Victoria.
What's that Japanese restaurant there? Apparently, it's meant to be amazing.
Haven't been there, Mateo.
But I've been hearing from the industry.
Yeah, lots of talk about that one, isn't there? That it's supposed to be very, very good.
Yeah, but it's not really Japanese, from what I understand. It's more that sort of
fine
dining with a Japanese influence, kind of a fusion thing. But I mean, you know, whether it's Annie Smithers doing her thing over in Kyneton or at her new place in Trentham, which is a great little bistro, or.
It's cool, isn't it? Annie's new place in Trentham.
Mm. Great. And what Michael Ryan is doing up in the northeast, and what Patrizia Simone has been doing up there for a very long time. I think I want to bring this back to the city because we are very quickly running out of time. Mm. John, you're quite emphatic in you think that fine dining is on its way out. Michael, I think you're in agreement there. And Matteo, I don't know that you.
We haven't set
the line in the sand for you yet.
Well, it's interesting because I've just spent a couple of weeks in Europe, and where I went to France, Italy, and London. Took my daughter on a trip, and caught up with Greg Maloof in London. Actually,
the Petersham Nursery Cafe,
which was amazing, by the way. The nursery, Greg's doing all his old dishes. So really, it's nothing we haven't seen before. But one of the best meals I had, it was at the Ledbury. It was amazing, and it's fine dining.
I'd
call that fine dining, and.
Yep.
And I've noticed what they're doing over there when things are tough and the economy stuff, and I've noticed that as well, is that people are saying, hey, you know, well, it's harder for them to part with their money. So they're going, well, actually, I do want a tablecloth on my table, and I do want wine served out of a glass, and I do want to make a booking. They're becoming more time poor. Mm. They're still cashed up.
Yep.
So everyone's still got money.
Yeah.
They're just I notice also with wines that are selling, they're going for known labels. They're not ordering the Spanish obscure varieties. They're ordering what they know is going to be good and consistent. So I think that's where the market's heading. And that's what I noticed in Europe is the fine dining or the good dining is coming back. They all went through that trend of, you know, hip, loud music and wow, because there was a high demand. Now, as demand decreases, I think there might be that trend that way.
Yeah.
But away, we don't want stuffy, you know. High-end dining.
Stuffy won't work anymore.
Stuffy is boring. Mm. I hate going to a restaurant myself, personally, where you feel it's a privilege for you to be there, let alone, hang on, I'm the customer. I'm trying to give you my money.
What? Yeah.
Guys, very quickly, a couple of other messages. I've got a text message saying the Muse in the Hunter Valley is stunning dining. And I've got a tweet from Anthony Cumnick at Greenvale Farm, producers of some very good product, pork and what have you. He says the Mary Jean Kitchen is doing some great things in the lovely setting of Port Ferry. So that sort of jumps into our regional discussion. I will have to let you go, gentlemen, because I do have very briefly to talk to somebody else. Michael Harden, you are the editor of The Good Bar Guide, released today, just $5 with today's age. Did you want to get a plug in for it?
Oh, look, you know, you just any self-respecting Melburnian needs to go out and be some sort of bar fly, and this is the guide to help you do it.
And they'll probably find you in said bars as a constant.
Yes. I think it hangs out at Jared's bar most of the time.
Oh, let's not give too much away; could end up with a stalker. Michael, thank you for joining me and adding to this very interesting discussion.
Yep, thanks very much.
Thank you. That's Michael Harden. He's also part of the reviewing team at the Age Good Food Guide and the food editor and restaurant critic for the Australian newspaper, John Leslie. And thank you.
Pete, I'd just like to say the annual Hot 50 edition, July 28, Reader's Choice poll at the Australian's website. I'd encourage everybody to jump on and have a look at it and vote for somebody.
Can we still vote?
Oh, yeah.
Vote for Matteo.
Terrific. John, thank you. And we'll grab you in the studio next time you're in Melbourne, mate. We can continue this discussion.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you. That's John Leslie, and he is the editor, a food editor at The Australian, and also their restaurant critic. We've waded in some interesting water now. I'm going to do something. We're going to play a little bit of music, and I'm going to grab our last guest, Jason Galletti. He is a caterer, has a catering company, and he might be able to give us a bit of a hint on what's happening in his restaurant. But here's a bit of Marsha Hines.
30,000 hours of Joy podcasts, now at joy.org.au.
Oh, that was the fabulous Marsha Hines with I Can't Stand the Rain. And, of course, it's a day to be playing that. You should be at home with a snifter of mulled wine and a vol-au-vent. In the studio with me is Matteo Pignatelli. We've been unpacking the fine dining discussion and the demise of the North Group. Well, not the demise of, but certainly the North Group going into voluntary administration. We've spoken to John Lethlean and Michael Harden. Our next guest is Jason Galletti. He is a chef and owner of G'day Chef Catering Company. Jason, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, mate. Sorry to have kept you waiting. It's very hard to get those two chappies off the phone. Let's talk about things from your perspective. You're a catering company. Are you seeing a change in the way that people are ordering and procuring your services?
We haven't really seen a change as such. It's more the confidence in the market, which you know people need a bit more encouraging these days. But Melbourne being full of foodies, it's still quite an easy task to cater events these days.
That's a fair call. Just quickly, another couple of messages. One via Twitter, is fine dining dying? It might be changing to suit punters' needs, but not dying. That's from Appetite for Excellence. And another interesting message, a great discussion, Pete. Hot waiters help. Do you have hot-looking staff, Jason?
We do. We do have hot-looking staff.
And do they help?
They do help.
In what way? Do they help make you money or they just provide you some branding that's valuable?
Oh, a bit of both. A bit of both, I guess.
So if we're to talk about the way that people are procuring catering, are they ordering less and better quality or are they ordering more and sort of less of the, to use this expression again, and Matteo's going to leap across the studio desk and punch me in the throat, high-end stuff. So are they doing less of that and more middle-of-the-road stuff or is it less in the amounts?
We try and market ourselves as more of a top-end caterer. So the people that come and see us already know what sort of services we provide. And I think that sort of clientele, that they do enjoy good food and they know the product that they want to get, prior to they get to us.
Fair comment.
And renowned for being a great caterer to the G'day Catering. But are people asking you for Mexican? or hamburgers?
I can't honestly say that we've been asked for Mexican, but that's an interesting one.
Yeah. And this comes back to trend, I guess, more than anything else. I mean, duck tacos and fish tacos and all sorts of tacos are very, very groovy at the minute. And the influence of Mexico, obviously, with the number of Mexican restaurants opening in Melbourne, I think is your point, Matteo. What is hot as far as what you're serving now, Jason?
Well, still the special occasions and the people that really enjoy good food, they come to us. That's pretty hot at the moment. I mean, we like doing degustation dinners and stuff like that, and that's a pretty big call for our services at the moment.
But we find even in the restaurant, people are still going to degustation. It's certainly the way to go. It really shows what the restaurant is about as well, whether it be high end. But I notice even like places like Chin Chin, you go there and the set menu they do, that $60, which is fantastic,
yes,
by the way. I love what the boys are doing there, boys and girls. And they've got the set menu. That's just a variation of the degustation, really. So.
Mm. We have another message, this one from a very good friend of ours, Hillary, who's saying that she's disappointed she didn't catch all of this discussion because there's nothing like four charming men on the radio. I don't know who she's talking about, Matteo, but I don't think it's you and I. So how much does trend influence what you do, Jason?
It does influence a little bit, the trend and the changes in the economical market. But we've had the same clientele for the last 6 or 7 years. Like I said, everybody's always got a special occasion that comes up. And Melbourne having so many foodies on board that, there's still plenty of work for our business.
Yeah, for me, I find that trend is price sensitive. People will try all the trends as long as it's not expensive. Similar to like I was saying before about wine, they'll try a Spanish grape variety if it's under $50.
An Albarino.
An Albarino or all these other varieties.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, when they're paying good money, they want to know that they're getting
good
value. They don't want a trend. They want safe. They want good,
reliable.
Good quality.
And as you said before, consistent.
And consistent. And that's, I think, why we've... Because we market the restaurant, Matteo's, on a consistent, conservative. Mm. We don't want to get the trend people who follow the trends, because they're what I call, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on radio, food sluts.
Yeah, yeah, no, we love the word food slut because it's used in context, of course. And you know, the reason we if we're to talk
or restaurant sluts, because they go to opening, and they're not a loyal customer.
Oh, God, no.
So, you know, you just open up another taco bar down the road and all of a sudden you've lost your business and they've moved on, so...
Well, you talk about consistency, and that's clearly what Jason, your mob, are doing. Do you want to give us a website for G'day Chef?
Yeah, it's g'daychef.com.au.
So that's G'daychef.
No, just G-D-A-Y.
Oh, sorry, G-D-A-Y-Chef.
.com.au.
And where are you based? Where's home?
Based in Nuttawadding.
Beautiful. All right, mate, look, thank you for joining us, and thanks for being patient. And, you know, we did lose our phones for a bit, and we had to play a bit of catch-up, Tiggy, but good to talk to you.
Not a problem. Cheers, boys.
Thank you. Yes, he's got some very valuable advice there, I think. And like you say, it's all about keeping things very consistent. Now, we should give you a plug because we're about to wrap this baby up. So people can find you at what address?
533 Brunswick Street, North Fitzroy. So away from the main drag of all the cafes and bars, and the old Mietas, or just visit the website at www.mateos.com.au.
And Matteo is Italian for Matthew, is it correct?
It is, yes. Because I was a saint when I was born. Still am.
Yeah, that's not what I hear. So, look, a very interesting discussion, and thank you to all of those that have taken part via Twitter and via email and text message. Of course, we're here every Saturday from 1 until 2. Don't forget, come join the Joyride. Call now, 1300-JOY-949. You can still take out a membership and become part of the Big Joy family. Win that Jeep valued at over $35,000. Thank you to Essendon Jeep. Next week, we're looking at the most important meal of the day. We're talking breakfast, and I've put out the call north, south, east, west. We're trying to find the best breakfast in all of those locations in Melbourne. We've got a couple of interesting nominations already. We will have some folk come from the west, because I'm a huge supporter of
I hope you've got marmalade and Zoll on there from the north.
Well, they're coming from the north. That's one of the nominations we have. Until then, I've been Pete Dillon. This has been Cravings, and I'll be back with you next Saturday here on Joy 94.9. Thank you for your company.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.